from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I am James Hamm. Joining me this beautiful Thursday morning, Kyle's favorite day of the week, Mr. Jake Gayden from CBS 13. What's going on, Jake?
James, I owe you an apology to start off.
Oh?
You didn't win all the money because UConn won on Monday.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. I hate to bring up bad old wounds, okay?
I blame Jake. I blame Jake for me and Sean Cunningham losing all the monies.
I felt bad, but, you know,
giant pool.
At the end of the day, the Huskies are the best team in the country, so.
They were the best team in the country.
No, we still are. Still are. Don't put it in the past. Still are.
Still are. Okay. Okay.
Heck of a
run for the Huskies. I mean, the national championship game was kind of a dud.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah.
That's what we were expecting, though. They'd blown out every single team prior to that. Why would that change?
Yeah, I think it really, it exposed Purdue as, like, so incredibly one-dimensional. It was like, Zach Edey and what else? And then every time I'm watching Zach Edey, I'm like, oh, no, not an NBA player. Oh, no, can't defend the pick and roll. Like, I've watched Zach Edey before, but on that stage against that type of talent, that's when it really shows, where you're like, okay, a basic pick and roll, and he's a big man, but he can't defend the guard. He can't defend the guy going for the alley-oop behind him. And then you watch him in space out on the perimeter, you're like, oh, man. Tough run for Purdue. Your Huskies win.
Sorry again.
It's okay. Now, you went to UConn, right?
So I'm from Connecticut. I grew up in Connecticut my whole entire life. There's nothing else to go to in Connecticut.
Okay.
The Whalers were gone. So, I spent my formative years, especially going from like 12 to 18 to UConn games every single year. We were season ticket holders. So did I go to the school? No, but I grew up a massive fan, going to multiple games a year.
Okay, cool.
Men's and women's, okay? What, I got to put that out there, okay?
Okay?
It was just not men's. Went to the women's games as well.
All right.
Got to see Maya Moore, you know, Breanna Stewart, the whole thing.
All right. Well, we've trudged through the week. We're 4 days into no Kyle. Kyle
Sad.
He's still hanging out in jolly old England. He's having a great time, I think. I have not spoken to him. I'm trying to let him have his time. Like, this is his first time out of the country. So, like, good for Kyle. He's learning how to travel and be outside the country and learn new cultures. Like England has different culture.
I just want to know how many pitchers of beer he's probably had in 1 week. That's my question for him.
I think it's probably a lot.
That and tea, okay? That's the two things.
Oh, see, I would drink a lot of tea there, like crumpets and tea. Okay. We do have news this morning.
Shoot.
O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 after a battle with prostate cancer. The word is he was in hospice care over the last few months. And this leaves behind one of the most complicated I don't know, sagas in U.S. sports history, U.S. political history, U.S. television history. I don't know. Jake, you're not old enough to like have lived through the moment, right? So as someone who, like, I've been through moments, right? So I think for you, you're probably the defining, like, moment in your life is probably 9/11.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Right?
So I'm old enough to know, like, I was old enough to remember Ronald Reagan getting shot, right? The assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. I also am old enough that they wheeled in a TV for us to watch the space shuttle take off, and then it blew up in, you know, in the first like 45 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever it was, as like a young person watching the spaceship go up in the air and then see something go horribly wrong and your teacher's gasping and like not knowing what to do and then turning off the TV very quick. Those are moments, right? And then I think the next big moment in U.S. history really was this wild, slow car chase scene with O.J. Simpson. I think everyone who is old enough to have seen it knows exactly where they were when O.J. Simpson's being driven by Al Cowlings, like driving 45 miles an hour down the freeway in L.A., and it's this white Bronco, and then almost like a V formation of police cars forever. It's like this dramatic moment, and like such a complicated person and situation.
Yeah, I was 1 year old. I was still in diapers when this was going on, so I didn't know the difference between milk and baby food. So let's be real about this, all right? But you're absolutely right. I think the defining moment for me was September 11th. But what I remember about OJ, is I remember watching that video on YouTube when I was a kid and seeing that, like, oh my God, that actually happened. But again, too young to remember the significance of it. I know who OJ is. We know what he's done. I've watched the docuseries and everything like that. But I was not alive for the moments of what went down.
Yeah, it's really wild because I'm not old enough to have watched a ton of O.J. Simpson as a football player. I've seen highlights. I did grow up in an era where O.J. Simpson was on television commercials running through the airport, jumping over kids, making spin moves, trying to get to his gate. And then, of course, he's in the Naked Gun series, which is absolutely hilarious with Leslie Nielsen. And then we have this moment. And I'll just like end with this. I don't think that there's another case that I've been alive for where we know everybody. We know all the players from the situation. We know, you know, Nicole Brown Simpson and we know Ron Goldman and, you know, O.J. Simpson. But then it goes so far beyond that, like, Kato Kaelin lives in the backyard and, you know, Judge Ito, it becomes like this huge thing where Judge Ito is a thing on Saturday Night Live. You know, all of the prosecutors, you know, all of the police officers involved, like Mark Furman, and, you know, Marcy Clark. And then this is where literally the Kardashians are born out of something like this. Like Robert Kardashian is part of the legal team with Johnny Cochran. And yeah, it's just wild how you get caught up in all of it. And so I hope it goes away now. I don't, you know, after today.
The Kardashians are not going away. I'm sorry. I hate to break that to you, buddy.
Yeah, eventually they'll go away too. I hope they do. But yeah, kind of a weird ending to like just, you know, a very, very weird saga and really tragic and horrible. And I feel bad for Nicole Brown's family and, of course, Ron Goldman's family and just like this saga. Like hopefully everyone kind of puts it to rest now. We also, like, I'm just going to throw this in here. Two-time former Sacramento King Ben McLemore, mm-hmm. 2013 first-round pick by the Kings, was arrested in Portland and has been accused of rape. I don't know what's happening there. We'll track that a little bit over the summer, I'm sure, but that's not a good situation. Around the NBA, Jrue Holiday gets a 4-year, $135 million extension.
Good for Drew. Good for Drew.
Jesse, what are your thoughts on Jrue Holiday getting?
We love it. We love it. We got our point guard for the next few years or whatever. We got to trade him because, you know, money and stuff like that. Last couple of years, you could do that. But let's get Derek White signed next, too.
Okay. Ooh. So I'm just like, can we do quick math? How do you think they're going to trade? Because he's almost 34. He'll be 34 before next season.
Someone's going to want to take an expiring deal, James. We know this.
34, 35, 36, 37, where you're going to be paying this guy how much?
About the range around 33 to 37 million. I think it ends with 38 million.
Right. It is 38.
I don't think that's a crazy amount of money, too, because like when this TV deal comes in or whatever, dude's going to be getting paid 70, 80 million a year. So like that's not much for Joe.
I like this deal, even though, yes, you the point of he's 34, that is concerning. But at the same time, though, I think it's a great deal for Boston, for a cap heavy team that they're going to have to figure out where that money's going to go over the next couple of years. I think this is a very tradable contract if you needed to. Not the later half. I'm talking about in the next year and a half.
I don't think it's very tradable. I do think that he's a great player, one of the better two-way players in the league, very underrated, probably should have been a multi-time All-Star.
Yes.
What's he only made one All-Star team, right?
Sounds right.
He's been on all defensive team, though.
Yeah, but he made the All-Star team with the Sixers before they traded him for draft picks, which is wild.
He is old, too, but, I mean, you don't really got to do too much when you got Tanner Brown out there.
He's not the main scorer on
that team.
That's what
I'm saying. Just run the offense, play some defense, and
it'll
be solid.
Yeah. Outside of that, the NBA has just been crazy. Sacramento Kings, of course, we're going to get to this a whole bunch. The Sacramento Kings have the most important three games that we've seen in a long, long time.
I feel like we say that every week, though, James.
It does
feel like
it's
the most three important games of the season.
Well, these are the last three, so we can't say it anymore after that.
Yeah, seriously.
Unless they make the play-in or they make the playoffs, then we're going to be saying the same thing for the next, 2 weeks. But Sacramento Kings take on the Pelicans tonight. They've got the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night on one of the wildest thanks NBA for back-to-back, crazy back-to-back. And then they finish the season on Sunday with a game against the Portland Trailblazers. We, of course, will have Jiffy Lube Fast Break Players of the Game. After each of those games, we'll also have $100 gift certificates to give away. So be ready for that tomorrow and of course, on Monday. And then, I think this has just been, whether it's the play-in tournament or it's the top three in the West, this is just, Jake, it's enthralling.
Of course it is. I personally love the how it's coming down to the final couple of games here. I watched the Minnesota Denver game last night. I thought that was absolutely phenomenal. I wish Kat would have played, Jokic showed why he's the MVP.
Yeah, I think so too.
Am I wrong on that?
No.
I think he showed what, I saw SGA the day before against the Kings, and I was like, SGA's pushing him right now. And the fact
with his foul grifting.
Yes. And then you saw Jokic and you're like, wow. Yeah, that guy's the back to back. Whatever. He's the MVP.
He's gonna win 3 in 4 years.
Yes.
At least that's what I think will happen.
Yes.
He's the best player on the best team in the West.
And
I think what they were able to do last night to sort of get a little tiny bit, I mean, it's one game. Now they're up one game on Minnesota.
That's all you need, though. That's all you need right now.
And now OKC is tied.
Yes.
So it's first.
It's better for Kings fans because I don't want to play Denver in the first round. So if you're hoping for a sixth or seventh seed, I'd rather pay Minnesota or OKC than Denver.
No,
I personally have no problem going back to Denver. I got a bunch of friends over there. It'll be a great vacation for Jake for a couple of days. We'll get to that in a second. But the sixth and seventh seed, if you're asking how to get out of that first round, I'd rather play Minnesota or OKC.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know which one of those teams I'd rather play. They're quality teams, but they don't have the experience. I also find it really interesting. We're about to go to break here, but how Naz Reid, by starting 14 straight games, has all of a sudden become, he's surpassing Malik Monk as the potential sixth man of the year.
Makes no sense. Malik Monk was just the leader all season long. Gets hurt. Oh, sorry, you're out now.
72 games he's played, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an absolute joke. And Naz Reid is earning this because he's starting.
That's the funniest part about it.
It's like, what in the world are we doing? Okay, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to jump into this Kings Pelicans matchup that should be lively. It should be a sellout crowd. Should be a whole lot of fun. We are the insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James. Join me, Jake Gayden from CBS 13. We'll be back in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into The Insiders. I am James. Joining me today, Jake Gaden from CBS 13. Kyle is on vacation still. Good for Kyle. We're happy for him.
Yay, Kyle.
Yay, Kyle. Get away from us. Get away from the stress of the Sacramento Kings and their, 45 and whatever record?
34?
Are they only 9 games over? I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not whatever anyone expected. We expected a little bit more, or at least a little more consistency throughout the season. Jake, this is a really, really tough matchup for the Kings, and I'm not sure why. The Kings are 0-4 against the Pelicans this season. I know they're big, I know they're long, I know they're athletic, but it seems like no other team in the league has trouble with the Pelicans like the Kings have trouble with the Pelicans.
The length is specifically where I see the biggest issue, but I don't think they've had a great game plan against this team in the 3 matchups that they've played. What was the blowout? Was that the in-season tournament game here? That was the blowout?
Yeah, they got blown out.
Am I right? The only reason I remember that is because we waltzed out Keon Ellis in the post-game press conference, if I'm correct on this.
Oh.
But that's another can of worms for another day, okay?
Yes, definitely.
That's right where my mind goes to immediately, because that's the start of something that went to the Celtics game. Side the point. For whatever reason, they can't figure out how to guard this team, specifically on defense. I remember C.J. McCollum had a huge game here in SAC. Last time they were here. The other thing that is very interesting, and it's kind of maybe previewing one of the keys to the game, is Valanciunas is just an issue for Domas.
Yes.
In terms of his strength. And when offensively everything goes through Domas, I think it definitely affects their offensive game plan. Now, I'll be intrigued to see how that changes tonight without Monk out there in the pick-and-roll offense. Are they able to spread the ball more a little bit and be able to maybe pick-and-pop this team a little bit more? But you're right. This is not like an amazing team where you're sitting there like, oh, my God, they have this guy. This works out perfectly, and this matchup, it favors New Orleans. There should be you should be able to break this team down just like the rest of the league has done. And no Brandon Ingram out tonight. Brandon Ingram is out tonight for New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That's one of their main scorers. They got to get the win. There's no excuse for us one tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there are reasons why the Kings might not win this game, and that's because they just haven't figured out how to live without Malik Monk and without Kevin Huerter in their lives. But I'd also say, like, the games against the Pelicans are not nearly as close as you think.
No, they're big blowouts.
Yeah, so the first time they played them, the Kings lost by 36. They lost 129-93. Then they played the Pelicans 2 days later, and everyone thought, ah, the Kings are going to give better effort. They gave better effort, but they lost 117-112. The third matchup, which was December 4th, that is an in-season tournament game. That was 127-117. It wasn't really even, I don't think, that close. And then the final matchup that we saw back in January, it was just a drubbing. The Kings lost 133-100. This is a rare time where you play a team five times in a season, and it's actually weird because the Kings are going to play back-to-back against two teams that will be the fifth time they face a team this season. Of course, they have the Suns, who they're 2-2 on the year. They won the first two games, blew the second two games, including a 20-point loss. They blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Suns.
In Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah, and so that one was bad, but... I keep looking at this this matchup, and I don't understand it. Even the last time when they lost 133-100 in January, Zion Williamson didn't even play in that game, and so Brandon Ingram only put up 15. It was CJ McCollum who dropped 30. It was Valanciunas who went 15-12, and I think you brought up the Valanciunas matchup, and we'll get to this in, you know, later in the show with sort of keys to victory. But Valanciunas is Lithuanian, just like Domantas Sabonis is Lithuanian. They play on the national team together. They're friends. I think this is just one of those matchups where Valanciunas, like, shows up in force against one of his friends. And that's something that we've seen time and time again. And while I think the matchup of having a big, strong guy is one thing, I think there's also that competitive fire because they're both from Lithuania.
Agreed. I think they also play a very similar type of game. That's the other thing that you got to remember on this. Valanciunas is very much the nitty gritty. Let's get in the paint. Let's muck up the paint a lot. Great defensive presence. I don't think the offense runs through Valanciunas as much as it does Sabonis.
No.
But at the same time, though, he is such an important cog in that offense that I think, especially when he got taken out. I remember that was the time when the Kings went on that run in that third quarter before they broke it out at the end of the third into the fourth. But he's going to be a key tonight, and just because, can we be real about this? Domas has not been playing well.
No, he hasn't.
And, like, I'm waiting for a game for him to snap out of it, and I can't sit there and say this is the game, because Valanciunas is a tough matchup.
Yeah, I would say you'd almost think that tomorrow against the Suns is the game that he might have the breakout, but we've talked about this a lot. Even yesterday we had this conversation quite a bit. I think one of the biggest issues that Sabonis has is that he needs that pick and roll with Monk. And I don't think the Kings have done enough pick and roll with Fox and Sabonis to get Sabonis going again. And there's three or four easy baskets that Monk gets for Sabonis every single game.
The bounce pass into the stomach, and then he goes up through contact and finishes.
Yeah, and the reason why he's able to do that is because he's on the move, right? Yes. So right now, the Kings, unfortunately, they've turned Sabonis into a back-to-the-basket big, which realistically he's not. Mm-hmm. He's got post moves, but he doesn't have a post move on a post move. It's really going to his left and just out-muscling you. And
shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. Yes. Sorry. The Fred Zadora in San Francisco. I'd have fun with that for a second.
Okay. I get it. But I also think, like, look, somebody's got to get him in the pick and roll and get him some easy buckets. And it's not like a normal player where you need to get him some easy buckets by maybe setting two screens for him, maybe, you know, doing a horn set or something to get a guy like an open look. Sabonis, very specifically, he needs to be on the move to go get an easy bucket, and it's just tough. I think, again, maybe that's an answer. Maybe they need to go Fox and Sabonis pick and roll for a couple of plays. They just haven't been doing it.
You know who's a player who's doing it, though, and it's not been someone that you'd actually expect, but he's doing it at the lower league level? G League level is oh my God.
Jordan Ford?
Not Jordan Ford.
Mason Jones?
No. He's been playing the past couple games.
Colby
Jones. Rookie. Colby Jones. I was going to say Cody Jones, but it's Colby Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Colby's been playing a lot of pick and roll, especially with Scal Labassiere down at the G League.
Labissiere, excuse me.
I've seen it in person before multiple times when I've gone down there. I'm not saying that that's going to happen like 20 times tonight, but like call a set for it. Just I want to see how it shakes. See if Colby can actually do that.
Okay. And I think the other thing the Kings have tried to do, and they're doing it on the fly, is they've tried to use Keegan Murray as more of a passer.
Yeah, but Keegan's not aggressive enough with it.
I just don't know that he's there yet. I don't know that he knows where to fire the pocket pass to and all that stuff. It's tough. I don't think you're going to like put a guy in just to do pick and rolls with Sabonis. But I think that's probably one of the reasons why Mike Brown keeps going to Colby here down the stretch, because he's just looking for somebody who has like a little bit of a lively body, who doesn't mind attacking the key and looking for other people. And I think Davion's done a really good job of attacking the key, but I also don't think he's setting people up. Like his assist numbers are way down, like even though his scoring numbers are up. And that's something that I think, you know, you need a secondary playmaker here with Sabonis to try to get him some easy looks.
Because I think Davion plays off ball really well, and he has been, especially that corner three when it's open. And you can't look at Keon and say, hey, Keon, I need you to create offense, because at the end of the day, he's guarding the best person on defense every single time. And I just don't think you can ask a guy to maybe create every single time he's up the floor with that.
Yep, I totally agree. Okay, so the way the standings sit right now, the Kings are going into this game. They're a game and a half behind the Suns for the seventh seed.
I want to look at the standings.
They are three games remaining. The Suns only have two games left, but one of those, of course, is against the Kings. And then the Suns finish with Minnesota. So the Kings got a little bit of help by Denver last night, because now you have Minnesota, who's in a like a battle for that 1-2-3. And the fact that Minnesota is going to have to play out the final game of the season is a good thing for the Kings. So there's potential for the Kings to maybe move up in the standings. But at the same time, they have to take care of business. And it really won't matter unless they actually win games, what we're talking about with all these standings. So they have to beat the Pelicans. They have to beat the Suns. And then the final game of the season, the Blazers, they've got to win against the Blazers. But you also have to have some help in order for the Kings to move out of the play-in and into the playoffs, which would be a six seed, or at least to a point where they're the seven and they can host a playoff game.
For me, if you want to ask my opinion, I'd rather have the seventh seed right now.
Oh,
I'd be like, I don't think they're going to win three games in a row and get that six seed. I don't see it. I'd be happy with the seventh seed. I really would.
Okay. Do you have a matchup to watch for this game?
I do. But it's my keys to the game. Do you want to?
No, that's fine. You can save it. You can save it. We'll save our matchup to watch for
I think that
a little bit later in the show. All right. We're going to step aside. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jake Gaden from CBS 13. No Kyle this week. We talk about that every day.
Cheerio!
I miss Kyle. I miss my friend Kyle. But we have been doing, we're calling it Ham and Side Dishes this week. It's usually James and Friends.
Yeah, it's usually James and Friends.
Yeah, no, this week, somebody, I can't remember who it was that came up with it.
It was Soren. Soren in the chat said it.
Soren in the chat. Okay, they came up with
Ham and the Side Dishes.
Ham and Side Dishes. So Jesse was Monday, and Jesse is mashed potatoes.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense. Jerry was Tuesday, and he pulled out turnip greens, which just came out of nowhere, but I guess they have that. Well, I mean, I get it. Like, he's from Indiana, like, farm kid, and they have that at Cracker Barrel, which I, again, like, you're not going to catch me eating turnip greens, but good for Jerry. It makes sense. We had Chris Biederman yesterday. He was...
He was baked beans with bacon bits in there.
Baked beans with big chunks of pork, yes. Which to me, that makes perfect sense for Chris Biederman. Everybody made sense. So Jake Gaden, what is, if you were a side dish, what would you be?
Oh. Okay, I got two off the top of my head, okay? Actually, no. Yeah, two, okay?
But you can only be one side dish. Go ahead.
I want to, the first one for me, some classic mac and cheese.
Okay.
I'm a mac and cheese guy. I'll throw that as a side dish. The other one is asparagus. But that's just, I'm a healthy man, and I eat a lot of asparagus.
That works. I think that's good for Jake, because Jake will come in with like D'Lo and Casey. He'll fill in for a show or with you. Like Jake, it just works. It works. Like, we all like asparagus, stuff like that, mac and cheese. It works.
Okay. You know what I keep thinking is that asparagus makes your pee smell funny.
That's so fine. Okay. So that means it's asparagus healthy. It's working.
So
okay.
I think it might make sense for Jake. Jake is an acquired, like,
has an acquired taste. He's an acquired smell.
He
thank
may
you.
Leave a stench when he leaves.
Yes. Is that an East Coast thing versus the West Coast? Is that
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'm just bitter because UConn won. I don't know.
he smells when he leaves the room.
That's hilarious. Okay, so let's get to this. You had something you wanted to bring up, and I think it's like, what do you want to see from tonight's game? Because, like, I think we've seen this team fight, and I think we've seen them like go. Like, give you such a great, like, 24 minutes or even some nights 36 minutes of basketball here over the last couple of weeks. But against sort of the more refined, the defensive-minded teams, their offense goes to hell in a handbasket. Everything gets mucked up. We know part of it is because of Malik Monk not being there. Part of it's because Kevin Herter's not there. Part of it's because some of the guys they do have that are there aren't playing well. Just, you know, Harrison Barnes is not playing well. And some of these guys have been inconsistent. And what is it that you want to see from the team tonight? Because I expect like a flat out crazy crowd that is trying to will their team to victory tonight. I expect the same exact thing tomorrow night. I expect playoff atmosphere at Golden One. And I kind of want to see if the team can live up to that.
I'm with you. That's why I think is that the fans are going to bring passion with a capital P tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see the team bring passion with double the capital P on that. Because, again, sometimes, yes, they show the fight. And, like, you can see the effort plays are there and everything like that. But sometimes it's the extracurriculars where I want them, after a big shot is made, to, like, not like freak out, but like, you know, after like a big three is made, sometimes just Fox just trots down the court or Sabonis just goes right back down. But when Malik hits a big three, he'll celebrate and he'll do this, the upside down three that he does. And he just gets the crowd into it. And it just, you feel it building. I want to see that tonight. If Keegan Murray hits a big three in the corner or something like that, I don't want Keegan just to trot back down and find his matchup. I want him to celebrate a little bit or get a fan into it. Get the guys into it. I want the energy level to be through the stinking roof. I want them to feel an earthquake from Golden One all the way in the Bay tonight.
Okay.
Same thing on Friday. Okay. I want that play so raucous like it was for game one of the playoffs last year that you can feel the energy spewing out of California. That's where I want. And I want it to start with the players. Feed off to the fans, go through your television screen, and beam a beam as big as it can possibly be tonight. That's what I want.
Wow. Okay.
I know it's intellectually nothing to do with basketball, but there is something about James' energy and bringing energy to a big game and bringing the right energy too, that you have to sit there and say, hey, this can will a team back to where they need to be.
Well, and that's where I think they, again, it's one of the biggest things they miss from Malik.
Yes.
It's the moxie. It's the, just like, the guy who feels it the whole time. When Malik is on the court, I've said this so many times, but Trey Lyles can score 16 points, and Malik Monk can score 13, and the only thing you remember were all of Malik's baskets and none of Trey Lyles. That's just kind of who he is as a person. Like, he's out there. He's like, he plays with a zest and a love on the court.
A moxie.
Yeah, yeah. And he just brings that energy every single time. And it's not that Davion doesn't play hard, but he doesn't have that same flair. He doesn't, you know, like, again, you're waiting for Davion to have a moment where he just busts loose and shows some emotion, because you know he's an emotional guy, but he refuses to show it. And I think a lot of the Kings players are that way. You talk about Keegan, you talk about De'Aaron. A lot of these guys, even Harrison, they're subdued people. That's who they are. They're sort of, I don't know, they don't want to show that side of their personality. And this is a moment where you're probably right. and probably more than anything else, they need to feed the crowd so the crowd can feed them back.
And I think you use this reference a lot. I want them to be Tarzan tonight and not Jane.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
I have not said that, but that's okay.
I think you have on a show with me.
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's interesting.
I want them to be Tarzan and not Jane.
Okay.
And when I say by Jane, I don't mean like physicality wise. I mean like, Harrison, you hit a big three tonight. Like just stop trotting back down the court. Let's get people into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Show some grit, some gutsiness tonight. And when you do, I think it's going to pay tenfold when you get this team, but when you get the crowd behind you, because it is the hardest, one of the hardest places to play in the league. Golden 1 Center, it is. Like, it is hard to win there when the crowd is in it. Ask the Warriors last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree, but I would also point out that the opposition seems to love the sight lines in Sacramento.
Really?
Like, whatever it is, like, teams shoot the lights out, and it doesn't matter who it is. The worst teams in the league have come in. Like, how many times you're like, well, this is the worst three-point shooting team in the league. Oh, they're there with a franchise record, 22 three-point makes against the Kings.
Well, it's because the Kings' three-point defense is horrible, but that's another conversation.
Well, even when their defense isn't horrible, guys that don't hit three-point shots hit three-point shots.
Agreed.
Against the Kings.
Agreed.
And so I think it's part of the whatever it is about this arena. It lends to shooting.
Don't tell Mike Brown that, though.
Well, I mean,
Mike's going to disagree with you in a second and say,
Alvin Gentry used to just yell and scream about the fact that the Kings couldn't like win on their home court. He was just like flummoxed. He was like, I cannot believe, like, this is the NBA. Like, you should have a home court advantage. We should not lose by 40 on our home court. Like, where is the pride? Where is your family's in the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And he kept saying, and the crowds have been great. And then we have this moment where the team just doesn't show up. This can't be one of those games.
No.
Like, it's got to be one of those games where they don't just come out and build a 20-point lead in the first half. They come out in the third quarter, they kick someone's teeth in, and they get ready for tomorrow.
That's the key, though. Like, and we'll bring that up in one of my keys to the game is that third quarter right there, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay, cool. We did have a tremendous night in the association last night. Again, I thought the Nuggets win over the Timberwolves was absolutely spectacular.
Thank you, Mike Malone. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good win.
That was a really good win.
Yeah.
We talked about this off air. Jokic, right?
Yeah.
MVP.
Yeah, Jokic is incredible. Like, you watch him play and none of it makes sense. The only thing that makes sense is that his team keeps winning and he keeps doing silly things that are just phenomenal. And then you had a guy like Christian Braun last night. Holy cow. My goodness. He hammered a ball so hard. He went up in the air against Gobert. Gobert was stuck in between two players. He thought it might be a lob. He switched hands in midair and hammered it on Gobert. And then had like three other dunks or two other dunks in the span of like a minute and a half as they just put them away. Like, they are, not only are they a team that was like their starting five, starting, you know, maybe six-man, seven-man rotation is built to win a championship, but they keep finding guys to add to that, different ingredients to add to it. And when something really doesn't work, they go away from it quick. They like, oh no, that's not us. And they go to something different that it seems like everyone they have plays with force. Everyone they have can shoot. They're all high IQ basketball players. They all, you know, again, chase rebounds hard. They go for 50-50 balls. This is a team that, like, to me, is still the odds-on favorite to win the championship. Sorry, Jesse. I think it's them and the Celtics that will represent the East and the West, especially after the Giannis Antetokounmpo injury over the last couple of days, which has set him possibly out for the playoffs. Like this to me is that moment where we could see a team maybe build a quiet dynasty that we didn't see coming. And if they can, you know, they already got one under the belt, can Denver be that team that puts another one?
I saw the dynasty coming, but I think you know this, James, about me. I came from Colorado, so I saw how this team came together. Reminds me a lot of what the Kings. I talk about this with Brendan Nunez all the time. It's just that the path of where both these teams are going, Kings and Nuggets, you can see how the Kings can get where the Nuggets are and how the Nuggets continue to ascend. Christian Braun.
Brown.
Interesting. Because that guy barely had a role in the playoffs last year. He came off, he was like the eighth guy, ninth guy on that bench. Bruce Brown was their main guy off the bench last year. And it looks like Brown has taken over Bruce Brown's minutes.
I think that's why they were willing. I mean, they wanted Bruce Brown back. Yes,
they did.
But they were willing to let him go because they knew they had Christian on his way in. And to me, it's the pipeline that you have to build. And that's why I like to see the Kings starting their own pipeline, whether it's Keon Ellis or Colby Jones or, you know, maybe one of these other players that are up and coming, maybe a Jalen Slauson down the road, maybe a Mason Jones down the road, you know, whatever it might be. I think what you're trying to do is build a pipeline so you, especially if you have high payroll players, you're always going to have these low payroll players that kind of balance everything out and give you sort of the meat behind everything.
You need draft picks for that, though. And I don't know if they don't have ones here, if I'm right, unless they don't make the playoffs.
Well, if they don't make the playoffs, they do have their draft pick, and then that becomes a much bigger issue.
That's another conversation.
Well, I mean, the conversation is pretty quick. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, they have a lottery-protected top 14 pick that should go to the Atlanta Hawks. And if they don't make the playoffs, they now have, you know, what will be like the 12th or the 13th or the 14th pick in the draft, and that's probably not where you want to be, because not only is this not a great draft, I mean, you can find talent, and they'll be able to find like a top 15 pick is quality.
Of course.
Like, you should be able to find a long, athletic 3-4 that might be able to play 15 minutes a game. But the problem is that it now ties up your 25, 26, and 27 draft picks. And that's not where the Kings want to be. If they're going to be active this offseason, if they're going to be able to transform this roster, they need their picks in order to do that. And that's the biggest sort of issue that we have here. And, you know, like, it's complicated. Like, you can do what they did last year where, you know, you get to draft night and you draft a player for another team and you make a trade using the pick from this year. But again, not a lot of teams are looking at the 2024 draft and saying, hey, I want to be in, you know, the lottery or, you know, the top 12, top 13. No one is like clamoring for that pick as of right now. Kind of a weird draft.
It's just that the draft prospects are not as deep as you would think. They're not as, they say deep, I say yes. It's not as top end quality.
Yes.
So you don't have five studs and then a couple of really good players. It's like one stud and like 12 good players.
Yeah, and I don't even know if there's one guy. There's not a consensus number one pick in this year's draft.
There isn't. Yeah. You're going to hate me for this. You know who's my favorite pick right now?
I'm going to guess your UConn guy.
Yeah, but do you know which UConn guy it is?
The big, tall center?
No, I like Klingon. All right, I have his jersey. I think he's a great pick. He's definitely a top five pick. I like that Stefan Kazil kid. The 6'4", 6'5", guard, played really good defense for Hurley this year. And if he works on his shot, he could be a really productive NBA player.
Okay. But for me, the Kings don't need more 6'4".
No. I'm just saying as a top five.
You like him.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that, like, we're going to get into draft coverage at some point, because I do think that the Kings are probably going to end up, there's a good chance that they're either going to be in the play-in and, well, they are in the play-in. All they need to do tonight is just show up to the game, and they basically are in the play-in.
Yeah, which we haven't talked about, by the way. Do you want to give the playoff scenario real quick?
Well, the playoff scenario, yeah. So basically, 7 plays 8, and the winner of that becomes a 7 seed in the playoffs, right? And then the 9 plays 10, and the winner of that goes on to play the loser of 7 and 8. And so that team goes to play, and whoever wins that game becomes the 8 seed. Where the Kings are at right now, they're in the 8th spot, but
I was saying if they lose tonight,
it's murky.
They're locked into the play-in.
They are.
Yes.
They're locked in. They cannot become the 6th seed.
No.
The only way for them to become the 6th seed is for them to not only beat the Pelicans, but the Pelicans to lose out from here and the Kings to move above them. I think the Pelicans have 3 games remaining. Oh, do they only have 2? I'm going to look that up really quick, whether the Pelicans have 2 or 3 games.
Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, I got it. Already there.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, so the Pelicans play at Sacramento. Oh, of course. They play tomorrow on a back-to-back against the Warriors. And then they finish with the Lakers. So it is possible for the Pelicans to lose out, right? And I don't think that's going to happen, but it's possible.
I think Brandon Ingram comes back tomorrow night against Golden State, but that's...
You think so?
You think if they lose tonight, do you think they keep him out?
I don't know when he's... I mean, if he could play tonight, he should play tonight.
No, he's already ruled out, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know he's been ruled out, but what I'm saying is that I don't think that there's something that's saying he can play.
Like, okay.
Like, if he misses tonight, he I don't know that he plays tomorrow. I don't know that he plays on Sunday. Like, I'm kind of feeling like he's on the bubble, whether he's going to be able to play before the play-in. He probably needs a week off here. And they can still get up to six. The problem that you have now, though, Jake, is that the Warriors and Lakers are right on your heels. Like, they weren't right on your heels, like, a couple of days ago. And then all of a sudden, they are. So the Kings are at 45 and 34. They're 11 games over 500. The Lakers are at 45 and 35. So they're a game back in the loss column. The Warriors are at 44 and 35. So the Lakers only have two games left. One of those, again, is against the Pelicans on Sunday. Golden State has three games left. And so, you know, you're in this race, but you could, this team, the Kings could easily lose both of these games right here. They could drop to 36 losses and not only drop down to the 9-10, but they could go all the way down to the 10 spot where, like, they could have to go to Golden State or go to LA for the first play-in game. I think for me, you really want to avoid the first play-in. You want to avoid the play-in completely, of course. You'd love to be the 6, but you want to be the 7 so you can host a play-in game. And if you win that game, you're in.
Of course.
What you don't want to do is get into a situation where you need to win a game just to play to get back in the play-in to play another game, right? And that's what the 9-10 to me is. So
I would be scared to go play Golden State. I would not want to play that team.
Would you want to play the Lakers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because one, I've seen even with LeBron playing full game, same thing with AD. I know for a fact Sabonis knows how to play AD. And I know that they can defend LeBron. I just think that's a better matchup if you're a Kings fan. I would rather play the Lakers than I would rather play the Warriors.
Well, the Kings have swept the Lakers. They have their number. They've won 7 out of their last 8 against the Lakers. But that really doesn't mean anything in a play-in.
Oh, I know it doesn't. But I just, yeah. If you're looking at matchups, like, I just think, I don't know if they have an answer for Jonathan Kuminga. Or they have an answer for...
I'm not fearing Kuminga. I'm just fearing that Steph goes Steph and scores 50.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in the same position. I think the Kings have better players to throw at him this year than they did last year. I think Keon Ellis can play minutes against him. I think Davion's playing really well. I think De'Aaron Fox has taken a step defensively. I also think that Keegan Murray is a much better defender than he was last year and can probably stick with Steph for longer stretches. But at the same time, you know it's Steph. And like, you don't want a one game against Steph. You saw what that looked like in game 7 last year. And it's not pleasant.
That dude can still will
his team to a monstrous victory. And, you know, and I would say the same thing about LeBron in a one game series. Like, I don't want a one game at one and done. Whoever wins goes on, because I know that with 5 minutes left in the game, LeBron James is going to have the ball in his hands every single time. And he's going to either run you over and dunk on you, or he's going to get fouled. And so you got to deal with that. So not only do you have to have like an 18-point lead, but on top of that, you have to keep scoring the whole time, because he's going to keep coming at you and he's going to keep getting the calls and you're just going to have to deal with it. So it puts you in a really, really tough spot if you're the Kings. So the best scenario for the Kings, and this is wild, is somehow make it to 6 or somehow make it to 7 and then play the Phoenix Suns for the 6th time this season. That would be premium, because what you don't want to do is play the Pelicans again, because you could go 0-5 against the Pelicans. But if you can play the Suns at home, and that would be, to me, your best opportunity to go in as a 7 seed. And then that could be against Minnesota, it could be against OKC. I don't know that it really matters. Like, for me, I'd also add that the way the Kings are playing right now, I'm not sure that the first round is really all that is going to be all that interesting.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so without Malik Monk, just the way that they're playing, the way that they're struggling, the way that they can't seem to find a way to play a full 48, and that other teams are able to make adjustments, and the Kings don't have something else to offer as far as adjustments. They can make fine nuanced adjustments that help you get a couple of buckets here and there, but the Kings just don't have a different look without Monk and without Herter.
Is that a coaching issue, though, or a roster construction issue?
No, well, I mean... It can be not both, right? So I don't think it's a coaching issue because, like, what are you supposed to do? You can't, like, turn a rookie second-round pick into Malik Monk in the final five games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. Like, and you can't ask Keon Ellis to be Malik Monk. That's not who he is as a player.
No.
So I also say, like, roster construction, they have two guys who can play 35 minutes at the two. They're both out. One of them's out for the season. One of them might be out for the season. Like, so what are you supposed to say? How are you supposed to have another shooting guard that can play 35 minutes and give you similar things? And I brought it up earlier. I really do think that one of the biggest issues that Sabonis has is that he doesn't have a passer to get him the ball. But the other problem is, people forget, is that Kevin Herter is really good in that two-man game
as well. Oh, yeah.
He's really good at the pocket pass. He's also a guy who averaged close to three assists a game. He is your third playmaker on the perimeter. The Kings don't have a natural take somebody off the dribble player outside of De'Aaron Fox right now, and that's hurting them. And, you know, so I don't want to say it's roster construction because you can't just assume that you could lose Monk and Herter. And it's so difficult to, like, how many guys can you bring in that play that style? Because that's not who they are as a team. That doesn't mean you don't need those guys, but this team is a run the ball through Sabonis, you know, move the ball around. But when a defense takes away Sabonis and his ability to pass, and all you have is Fox to counter that with, that makes life really difficult.
You don't think Sasha could go in that role a little bit at all?
No, I don't think Sasha. I mean, I think Sasha can create a little bit, but Sasha's just not that fast. I think Sasha's great as a shooter in the corner, a shooter at the top. He's also great as an off-ball cutter, a guy who sneaks under the basket and, like, is wide open and you find him. But, like, getting from point A to point B is not Sasha's, like, specialty. Taking somebody off the dribble is not Sasha's specialty. It's not. I think the one other guy that might be, it could be Chris Duarte, and he just hasn't played well. And I don't know. I mean, he hasn't played well enough.
Chris Duarte is indecisive with his plays.
He's spectacular if he's got his feet set and he's looking at the basket.
But other than that, Chris has been not a disappointment this year. It's just I expected more out of him.
Yeah.
In many different ways. I just thought that the relationship that he had with Domas would have rubbed off on him a little bit more, and I just wanted to see more consistency. But again, Mike hasn't given him consistent minutes this year as well. So.
Yeah, I do think the times that they did give him consistent minutes, you didn't get consistent play.
No, you didn't.
And it was like, it's like a double-edged sword. Like, so look, I mean, this roster needs a bunch of tweaks during the offseason. It does. I mean, this is...
I could tell you where it starts.
Uh-oh. Where does it start?
I'm sorry, but the Black Falcon needs to fly away.
Oh, look at Jake going at Harrison Barnes.
HB, you think he's like such a good dude? Like, that's where, like, I think he's like a good person. I just, where does he fit? And I don't just see it at all. He doesn't do the yeah. Just.
I would say my biggest thing is look, he's had a really rough stretch here where he has not played well at all. And really, he's hurt.
You said that this whole season, though, James.
Yeah, but there have been times where he's fine. There was like a 3-month or 2-month stretch where he was perfectly fine playing the role that he was doing, and you had no problems, and you were winning games. The problem is that when you lost all of these other players, you needed him to step up, and he wasn't able to do it. And so over the last five games,
so why are you paying him $40 million for?
Well, yeah, because you didn't know that he was going to do this at this moment. So I get you. All right. You know, when we come back, we're going to dive into the Sacramento A's. I think that that's what we're going to do.
Okay, I like this.
Jake has been on this story, and I think it's an interesting, you know, world that we're about to enter into with Major League Baseball. And Biederman was great on it yesterday, and I'm sure we're going to have plenty of conversation here with Jake. So we're going to step aside. You are listening to the Insiders on ESPN 1320. I'm James. He's Jake. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.